Yeah. All right, here's another guy who's cool. We looked through the window of baseball for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice in Marvin Windows, and that is Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you?
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys. Gosh, I sure enjoyed that Cepeda interview. He's one of the really special guys.
That was fun.
You know, Bruce, and this thing about it, of course, he has a statue here. He's a Hall of Famer. But you look at the numbers of what he did year in, year out, and the unanimous Rookie of the Year in 58 and unanimous NL MVP in 67. That, to me, is those are the two things that just get me every time.
Yeah, and the thing about him is that, you know, for the people who played with him, played against him, and saw him play, even the numbers don't really tell it. I mean, I remember, you know, as a kid in L.A., going to Dodger games constantly, I almost idolized Cepeda. I mean, I remember times, I remember two specific instances against Koufax. The first one, he just hammered a dead pull homer down the line, and the other time, I forget what it was, I'm sure it wasn't the same game, he hit that patented Cepeda double up the alley in right center, and I'm just thinking, man, this guy is a hitting clinic, you know? And he did so many things. I was just looking up some of the stuff from his career. You know, we all know about the Giants and of course, the Cardinals, but in 69, he was with the Atlanta Braves, and they played the Mets, and of course, they got swept in that series by the Mets, who were on their way, you know, the Miracle Mets and everything. But in Game 3, he comes up against Nolan Ryan in the fifth inning in homers. The guy, I mean, there was no pitcher that intimidated him, that made him, you know, look stupid. When he got up to the plate, in the great tradition of his father, you know, Perucho, who was a legendary player in Puerto Rico, you know, he was not to be denied.
Boy, you know, it's great. I love the story. And he tells the one about, you know, he was a bat boy for Clemente in Puerto Rico when Mays played. He was the bat boy on the team. How about that?
There's so much history there. You know, his dad truly was. I mean, you know, it's always tough for the child of a truly legendary performer in any field to, you know, match up. And a lot of kids just sort of just go the other way just to stay out of the way. But his father, in 1939, the Puerto Rican Winter League, and at that time it was really thriving, the batting title race came down to Perucho Cepeda and Josh Gibson.
Wow.
And Perucho wins it at 383. You know, I mean, get out of here with this stuff.
I love it. I love it. Great, great story, Bruce. Hey, you were out here last night, and we talked a lot. I've had a lot of people on today, just some sound bites. Giants, Dodgers, and you wrote a beautiful column today in the Three Dot Lounge about
sure
the game
did.
Last night. And yeah. I just love to hear your emotion of just when these two teams are fighting it out, what it means to you and the fans, and just put it in your own words.
Well, it's like my whole life, really. I mean, I'm 10 years old when the Dodgers moved west, and, you know, from that point on, I'm immersed in this rivalry. You know, I saw, you know, Antonelli and Ruben Gomez and Koufax and Drysdale and Gino Cimoli, you know, and then from then on, that's always been, you know, the highlight of the season if those two teams are in it, and or even if they're not, if they play a great game that you never forget. And so we're out there last night, and, you know, this really has the potential to be the most interesting Dodger-Giant season since 62, when they wound up playing a best-of-three playoff series to see who goes to the World Series. You know, this time it could be the NLCS. I mean, they could meet for an even longer playoff series. But even without that, I mean, what I tried to convey is that the contrast between the teams is really interesting. You know, the Dodgers are known for their great talent and their huge payroll, but they've got a lot of issues that Don Mattingly has to deal with, a lot of personal agendas. And the Giants are, you know, typically this all-for-one kind of team with, you know, Hunter Pence and Pagan and. It just, you know, it reads like a, you know, a kid's sports novel, you know. Tommy carries the ball. Everybody, all for one, everybody's, you know.
It's true.
It really is. And it's an incredible contrast. You really have no idea how it's going to turn out. I mean, you'd like to think the good guys win, but you don't know that. I mean, if the Dodgers win tonight and then Kershaw pitches a gem tomorrow, it kind of flips the whole thing. So it's just. But you sure can't turn away from it.
The great Bruce Jenkins from the Chronicle here on KNBR 680. Bruce, I've always been more of a talent guy in baseball than chemistry, but it seems like every other year the Giants prove me wrong, and you nailed it in your column today in the Three Dot Lounge, but I love this line. Yasiel Puig is a major tool in an oddly endearing sort of way, and his flighty flamboyance captures the 2014 version of the Dodgers Giants. Great stuff right there, Bruce.
Well, thanks. You compare him to Hunter Pence. It's just it's just great. It's classic. I mean, they're both they're two of the most talented guys in all of baseball. And you got, you know, Pence is like Mr. Hustle and everything's unorthodox, but he totally gets the job done. He hasn't stopped working, running, caring in his life. And Puig, you know, until yesterday, he's like one for a million. And he hasn't shown up for early BP until yesterday over the recent weeks. He's just kind of, he's been showing up late, and he's completely on his own path, and yet he's so talented, he might get the hit that wrecks the Giants in a few days. You know, I mean, and that's the beauty of it. You don't know how it's going to come out, but the contrast is just radical.
It's bizarre, and you know what? We're talking about the source of this chemistry. Who's the one that really gels these guys and coagulates them? Maybe it's the skipper. He seems to be the common denominator.
Well, it starts with Brian Sabian.
Okay.
I don't think Brian Sabian would ever touch Hanley Ramirez. You can't win without a weak fielding shortstop. You can't. He consistently provides Bushy with character guys. I mean, but you know where Bochy is comes to play in 2010 when they got Aubrey Huff and Pat Burrell. People were saying, "Oh my God, I can't believe these are two of the worst clubhouse guys I've seen in ball." I'm talking about real veteran baseball writers telling me this. They get here and they transform into total team players, and they were great. They were unconditionally great for the team, and Bochy has a ton to do with that. So that's absolutely right, but. You know, and I think the heart of it really, Matt Cain isn't with the team right now, but this is a guy who's always set the tone in that clubhouse for professionalism, unselfish. I've never heard him even come close to referring to a bad play behind him. It was always his fault. And, you know, all those guys talk like that. But Bochy, it definitely stems from the top, man. He's the king.
I wonder what Hudson will do tonight. 214 wins and 9-10 on the season. Not great since the All-Star game, but this is a game. This is a game that Tim Hudson waits for and has waited for his entire life to get this game tonight, like the big games he had in the A's and the Braves.
Yeah.
But this is his first big one as a Giant tonight. I wonder what he'll do tonight.
Yeah, that's really well put. This is the one. This is the one where he lets the Giants know that he was worth every penny. And I just have a funny feeling he's going to keep the ball out of the wheelhouse. You know, of these guys, he's such a master at that. Of late, he's thrown some fastballs right down the gut that he regrets deeply, and some sinkers that didn't sink. I don't know. I've just got a funny feeling he's gonna be very, very tough to drive the ball into the gaps tonight, which is his whole career, really.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's got to hold people on base. They run on him like crazy.
Oh, God.
And Dee Gordon's in there tonight.
Yep. I thought Mattingly did the Giants a huge favor last night without playing Gordon. I know that Turner's been pretty good, but, I mean, come on. Gordon is a huge part of the team. He's a huge part of why teams fear the Dodgers, especially the Giants. And it's not just Hudson. You know, Flinscombe's in there. They have a bunch of guys who don't hold runners on. And with him not in there, that was a big plus, but now he's in there against Hudson, who doesn't hold runners on, and you know, if Gordon leads off with a walk or a base hit or whatever, then it's on.
And Zach Greinke is a pitcher, Bruce. He'll come with the fastball, then all of a sudden, five pitches in a row will be like 78 or 82. You never know what you get from him. He's been very successful against the Giants, so it's one of those Saturday night classic matchups, and get ready for tomorrow as well.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, you know, the Dodgers need these two games really badly because, you know, without Ryu, they're down to two guys that they can trust, really. And the Giants are really five strong in that regard right now. It's Kershaw and Greinke, you know, and pray for rain or a sandstorm or something.
smog storm. Yeah.
Pray for smog, you know. I mean, they need these games in a huge way because they really are down to two, and we don't know when Rio's coming back. But, yeah, I love Greinke. I love that he can hit. He goes up there and looks to do some damage with the bat. He's admittedly he's not 100%. His arm isn't great, and he's said that publicly, but he still goes out there. He'll pitch a great game, I'm sure. I think this is going to be a super tight game as opposed to last night.
Boy, I think so, too. I think the running game is going to have an effect tonight. I really do. Carl Crawford is back in there tonight.
Yeah.
If Puig gets on, he'll probably go without a green light. He'll just take off.
A Puig light.
Yeah, but I see that coming tonight. This is going to be a very interesting game. Bruce, looking at just the way the National League is playing out, the Braves lose again today. Uh-huh. It's starting to separate. You're starting to see that separation now. The Brewers are hanging on for dear life, but with 15 to go, like Orlando just said, the Giants were four back with seven to go, and all of a sudden the Dodgers started losing. This is one sport. It ain't over till it's over.
Yeah, I really think this series, we're looking at two teams that you have to fear, and Washington. I really think beyond that, I don't really see it. I think Washington, Dodgers, Giants, one of those teams is going to be in the World Series. And we're looking at it, you know, right here, right now. And, you know, when you say that, and then, you know, Pittsburgh will win 10 in a row, and maybe they'll storm through the wild card.
It's true.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so great. This has been an incredible baseball season for, as you say, that's baseball, which is like, try to figure it.
Yeah.
And who'd have thought we were talking Panic and Susak and these guys coming down the stretch here, huh, Bruce?
Well, you guys were talking earlier about what has been the difference. Why have they kicked in? And I think a huge part of it is that, you know, we talked from spring training on, we talked about how the lack of depth was going to kill them.
Yeah.
And if they had the injuries, that was going to be the end of them. Well, they've been without Morse and Belt, and you know these guys have provided the depth that we didn't think they have, and it's proven to be absolutely critical. You know, along with Blanco and Arias coming on, they do have depth now. They can make up for Morse being out or Belt being out, and that's been, I think, the biggest difference.
Now look at Ishikawa; he is in the lineup tonight. But how about the home run he had last night?
I wouldn't have put any faith in him doing anything, you know, for anybody. he's a real hitter now. I mean, we've seen enough to where he's certainly a dangerous hitter. I mean, you see, we've seen him go to left field like the whole team, by the way. When do you ever see anybody shift on the Giants?
Yeah.
Anybody, you know, especially the big guys. You can't shift. You can't play even a slightest shift on any of these guys. Yeah. And then Ishikawa's kind of joined the party. It's amazing. It's every other year, and 2014, anything can happen.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think they're going to get in the playoffs. I just think it's just a matter of time if they continue to play like this, which they seem to have done for a long enough period of time. I don't think it's a fluke. Ishikawa, I had him on, Bruce, and I said, gee, what happened? He says, well, he was with Pittsburgh, and he was on second base, and all of a sudden the scoreboard flashed. Pirates pick up Ike Davis. He said before he got to home plate, he was released. And really, he said, Ike Davis or me? They just got Ike Davis. I'm gone.
Yeah.
And he was, and he ended up at Fresno, and he just wanted to play in the organization of the Giants. And they liked him, and he's a good fielding first baseman. Belt got hurt, and here he is.
Yeah, you talk about perseverance. And he was not a good hitter with the Giants before. He simply wasn't. And you can tell he's done a lot of work. He's a good athlete. He changed his approach. And he's a guy to be reckoned with up there. It's just amazing, really, and good for him. You know, a good guy like just I can't think of a bad guy on this entire roster. And you talk about chemistry. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't win it for you, but boy, it sure doesn't hurt.
Well, I'm looking forward to the game. Bruce, a great setup. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you. You'll be out here with us tomorrow.
I will see you tomorrow at the Public House around 11.
Awesome.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, guys.
All right.
Take care.
Well, it was good seeing Bruce last night too.